founder of antimatter. What is antimatter? It seems strange that nature would double the number of subatomic particles in the universe for no good reason. Nature is usually quite sparing, but now that we know about antimatter, nature seems to be supremely redundant and wasteful. And if antimatter exists, can anti-universes also exist? To answer these questions, one has to investigate the origin of antimatter itself. The discovery of antimatter actually dates back to 1928, with the pioneering work of Paul Dirac, one of the most brilliant physicists of the 20th century. He held the Lucasian chair at Cambridge University, the same chair held by Newton, and the chair currently held by Stephen Hawking. Dirac, born in 1902, was a tall, wiry man who was in his early 20s when the quantum revolution broke open in 1925. Although he was studying electrical engineering at the time, he was suddenly swept up in the tidal wave of interest unleashed by the quantum theory. The quantum theory was based on the idea that particles like electrons could be described not as point-like particles, but as a wave of some sort, described by Schrödinger's celebrated wave equation. The wave represents the probability of finding the particle at that point. But Dirac realized that there was a defect with Schrödinger's equation. It described only electrons moving at low velocities. At higher velocities, the equation failed because it did not obey the laws of objects moving at high velocities, that is, the laws of relativity found by Albert Einstein. To the young Dirac, the challenge was to reformulate the Schrödinger equation to accommodate the theory of relativity. In 1928, Dirac proposed a radical modification of the Schrödinger equation that fully obeyed Einstein's relativity theory. The world of physics was stunned. Dirac found his famous relativistic equation for the electron purely by manipulating higher mathematical objects called spinners. A mathematical curiosity was suddenly becoming a centerpiece for the entire universe. Unlike many physicists before him, who insisted that great breakthroughs in physics be firmly grounded in experimental data, Dirac took the opposite strategy. To him, pure mathematics, if it was beautiful enough, was the sure guide to great breakthroughs. He wrote, "It is more important to have beauty in one's equations than to have them fit experiments. It seems that if one is working from the point of view of getting beauty in one's equations, and if one has a really sound insight, one is on a sure line of progress." In developing his new equation for the electron, Dirac realized that Einstein's celebrated equation, E equals mc squared, was not quite right. Although it is splattered over Madison Avenue ads, children's t-shirts, cartoons, and even the costumes of superheroes, Einstein's equation is only partially correct. The correct equation is actually E equals plus or minus mc squared. This minus sign arises because we have to take the square root of a certain quantity. Taking the square root of a quantity always introduces a plus or minus ambiguity. But physicists abhor negative energy. There is an axiom of physics that states that objects always tend to the state of lowest energy. This is the reason that water always seeks the lowest level, sea level. Since matter always drops down to its lowest energy state, the prospect of negative energy was potentially disastrous. It meant that all electrons would eventually tumble down to infinite negative energy. Hence, Dirac's theory would be unstable. So Dirac invented the concept of the Dirac sea. He envisioned that all negative energy states were already filled up, and hence an electron could not tumble down into negative energy. Hence, the universe was stable. Also, a gamma ray might occasionally collide with an electron sitting in a negative energy state and kick it up into a state of positive energy. We would then see the gamma ray turn into an electron and a hole develop in the Dirac sea. This hole would act like a bubble in the vacuum. That is, it would have a positive charge and the same mass as the original electron. In other words, the hole would behave like an anti-electron. So in this picture, antimatter consists of bubbles in the Dirac sea. Just a few years after Dirac made this astounding prediction, Carl Anderson actually discovered the anti-electron, for which Dirac won the Nobel Prize in 1933. In other words, antimatter exists because the Dirac equation has two types of solutions, one for matter and one for antimatter. And this, in turn, is the outcome of special relativity. Not only did the Dirac equation predict the existence of antimatter, it also predicted the spin of the electron. Subatomic particles can spin, much like a spinning top. The spin of the electron, in turn, is crucial to understanding the flow of electrons in transistors and semiconductors, which form the basis of modern electronics. Stephen Hawking regrets that Dirac did not patent his equation. He writes, "Dirac would have made a fortune if he had patented the Dirac equation. He would have had a royalty on every television, Walkman, video game, and computer." Today, Dirac's celebrated equation is etched in the stone of Westminster Abbey, not far from the tomb of Isaac Newton. In the entire world, it is perhaps the only equation given this distinctive honor.